piece of tape Rob has been telling me we need to hear. This is not necessarily a funny piece of tape, but
it's creepy, more than
really pretty amazing. Explain this. All right, we got the last buzz of the afternoon coming up, but first, this me again. This was a guy that was in a firefight
in
Afghanistan.
A soldier in Afghanistan.
And he accidentally, like people often want to do, he keyed his cell phone.
They said, actually, as he was hitting the ground because of the firefight, he hit send on his cell phone.
Right.
It called his parents, who were not home, and their answering machine recorded a portion of an actual firefight in Afghanistan.
Okay, let's hear it.
And this is a pretty chilling audio. I think you'll like it, mm-hmm. or enjoy it anyway.
Jesus.
Amazingly, he lives to tell about it.
Oh, man. You know, the next time you're out in a bar, you're in an airport, I don't care if you think it's jive or not, but seriously, I think not enough people do this anymore. Really, you see somebody, you realize this stuff is going on every single day. And I really think, you know, we talk about politics, we talk about the Super Bowl, we talk about everything going on, but the fact remains that you've got guys that are putting their asses on the line, coming back, you know, with limbs missing. This happens every single day. And I just don't think we do anything but turn it into numbers when you see it in the corporate media in America. That's exactly what you see. So, you know, next time you see a guy, I know I always do, you say, welcome home. That means the world to these guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for the service. Man, that is a...
Can you imagine, and you can, I know you can, and Buzz, you can pretend as a parent, coming home and finding that on your answering machine?
You know, I read an article a while back. I forgot what publication it was in, but it was, I think, the Khorasan Valley. It was over in Afghanistan. And one of the things that I know about Afghanistan is you have so many of these areas where the only passable roads cut right through these valleys.
Right.
And it's so unbelievably dangerous because these guys are sitting ducks. Yeah. They know they're sitting ducks,
yes.
and they do whatever they can. You know, one of the things that they were talking about with Pat Tillman, who, you know, his mother's on...
She's touring right now.
Right. The fact is that was another situation. They're going down through a valley, you know, up above them. They've got the Taliban. They're shooting down on these guys. And this happens. It's amazing how little reinforcements are being sent over to Afghanistan and how many people mm-hmm. are in these tiny little pockets. And they have to go out on these road trips. They have to go out on these road patrols. And they don't know when it's going to happen. They've got the added benefit of having both the Taliban mm-hmm. and the IEDs that are on the side of the road that can blow up just like they do in Baghdad.
Right.
And unbelievable heroes and courageous people and guys putting their asses on the line. And instead, you know, we occupy ourselves with who said this about what candidate when the fact is...
Jeremiah Wright.
You know, you've got people, seriously, American heroes mm-hmm. that we have not had since the days of Vietnam mm-hmm. and before that since World War II. And you've got amazing hero stories that are coming out of this. And I really wish you'd hear more about this because the level of balls that you've got from these guys that go into these firefights, you know, a guy like Pat Tillman and, of course, the whole controversy that it was a friendly fire incident with this guy, but all of his compatriots, all the guys that served with Pat Tillman said the guy was an American hero, whether he, you know, died charging up a hill or was killed by friendly fire.
Right.
And, you know, that brings it home, that this goes on every single day. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's important, no matter what your political views are, you have to reflect on this and you have to remember that when you go down to these military hospitals, these guys are coming in from tours of duty every day. And over in Afghanistan, and in many cases in Iraq also, you are getting into firefights and you're getting into this every single day. But in Afghanistan, until I read this article, I swear to God, it was so undercovered and underreported that I had no idea that this was actually going on. You know, we think of guys stationed overseas as sitting out there in some installation and they just hang out and they're not engaging every single day. Well, you got the bad guys over there, the Taliban, that are really trying to take us out. And you don't know when you go, you know, very similar to Vietnam, you go into some of these villages and you don't know who's friendly and who's not.
Right.
And one guy that's shaking your hand one minute, you know, might be on the radio signaling his Taliban buddies that they're coming down through the, you know, the Valley Pass and open up on them. So, you know, just to, that brings it home absolutely loud and clear.
It really, really does. It really does.
It's very, very scary. It really is. Let's get our last buzz of the afternoon. Sorry, I didn't mean to get up on the soapbox there, but I feel very strongly about that. You know, when you listen to all these blowhards that are talking about, you know, whether we should come home, whether we should go and stay, you don't get the human element of that. And I really wish, especially here in the Washington, D.C. area, where we've got a lot of these guys coming back and being treated for their injuries, I really wish they'd talk more about the individual soldiers.
Please.
And the fact that, you know, whatever administration, whether it be Republican or Democrat, these are the guys that have to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And you're not talking about just physical injuries. You're talking about post-traumatic stress syndrome and all of that.
Mental problems.
And, you know, hopefully down the road, I really will have a nice announcement to make about an organization we're going to get involved with that will be directly affiliated with helping families of veterans. And
it's about time.
As a matter of fact, CK, if you're listening, I want to talk to you about that because really I want to get that on the air as soon as possible, hopefully this week, and we'll be making the announcement about that. But that's neither here nor there. We got to talk about the goings-on of the day with Buzz Burbank. I'm sorry I got really ramped up about
that. Don't be sorry. You said some important things, and you said them well, and we thank you for
that. Sometimes you've had a lot of stuff bottled up for a very long period of time, and, you know, this is a bully pulpit, and I think some things need to be said occasionally.
I think a lot of people agree with that.
And incidentally, caller number 100 for the Saget tickets. Just take the name and give it to me, and we'll announce the winner for the Bob Saget tickets. Okay, Buzz.
Hillary Clinton wasn't on the Today Show or any of the others this morning. She canceled her scheduled appearances after a sobering night of primary election results. She lost North Carolina by 14%, barely squeaked to victory in Indiana. Mr. Obama is now only some 200 delegates away from being the nominee at this point, while Ms. Clinton needs about 500. She's now virtually, statistically eliminated. Mm-hmm. Nothing at this point gets her the delegates she needs.
Yeah, I think it's over, and I agree with what, was it David Mark? Was that the gentleman's name we had from Politico.com who said, yeah, what she's going to do is she's going to go to West Virginia, probably win West Virginia, then you're going to have Oregon, and you're going to have Kentucky.
Right.
And after those are over, she will bow out with dignity.
Yeah, David thought she would bow out after Oregon, to be sure.
They will put her down.
But for now, today, she says she's still in.
She will be going to the Kentucky racetrack.
Eight bells.
And it will be over officially. Thank you.
Clinton campaign is also out of money, having already borrowed from the Clintons themselves and facing the prospect of borrowing more now that outside donations have virtually dried up. And the less than 2% victory Clinton won in Indiana might have been some voodoo from radio blowhard Rush Limbaugh. And his legion of mindless followers. Barack Obama's top political strategist, David Axelrod, says Limbaugh's Operation Chaos might be responsible for as much as 7% of the votes Hillary got.
You're kind of a putz.
Yes.
You're kind of a putz.
Not you, Buzz. I'm talking about Rush Limbaugh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to sabotage that guy, just send over some OxyContin. Really, what you do is, I mean, I'm sure he's still a lard ass, right? Just like we had lard asses.
Uh-huh. Sure.
You bring it over there and you kind of like put it in, you know, one of those peanut M&Ms and just sort of stick it back together. And then you give him like two of them and all of a sudden it's back in his bloodstream.
If it wasn't a felony, I'd be in my car right now.
Man, these are great peanut M&Ms. Oh, suddenly feeling so relaxed.
Is he deaf again?
I can't hear. Yeah, baton directing. Damn, where's the baby blues?
Well, what you're not hearing a lot about is what a rough night it was for John McCain.
Yeah, Mike.
In yesterday's Republican primaries in North Carolina and Indiana, McCain, running against nobody, really, couldn't even muster 80% of the...
And it's irrelevant because I'm already the presumptive nominee, Candy Ash.
You're the nominee, but why so little Republican support?
Why am I allowing you to continue talking when I should be over there giving you the North Vietnamese death grip?
You can do that?
I'm going to remove your esophagus from its resting place inside of your throat.
You can't catch me, old man.
I'm going to pry your eyes out with my thumbs as I was trained when I was a fighter pilot.
Have you seen that website we were talking about in the last break?
You mean the one with Beth Ann's before and after picture?
Well, no, not that one.
The one
where the virgin will have sex with anybody.
No, that's not my cup of tea.
I think you might want to look into that.
No, what I like to do is retreat to the privacy of my own boudoir and say, hey, C-word.
So long, Pops. Only 78% of the Republicans voting in Indiana yesterday went for McCain. No longer in the race. Mitt Romney got 10%. Mike Huckabee got 5%. It was even worse for McCain in North Carolina. There, he got only 74% of the Republican vote. Huckabee got 23%. Ron Paul got 7%. And 4% of the Republicans voting stated no preference.
You know, it was a wacky, wacky day, but it'll all be over soon. I sound like the guy, Teddy KGB. It will all be over soon.
I think it was on MSNBC where Ron Paul says he's still a candidate. He's not withdrawn.
It's like really bad service in a restaurant. Excuse me.
Another cup of water.
I know.
It's the waitress ran away.
What is this guy? What's this guy calling about? This guy, Rob.
R-O-B-B,
Rob. Do you have any idea what he's calling about?
He spells his name right.
Sometimes, you know, I get a little concerned, especially with I have some firefights on my phone. All right, let me talk to this guy. Hmm. Rob, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show. How you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing? And, Rob, I spell my name that way because of you. So thank you for that.
God bless you.
Thank you for doing it right.
You also have firefights on your phone? How does that – I mean, do people call you by accident? Is that how that happens?
No, my phone, I can set it up to where essentially I just push two buttons and I can record it. And when I was over there...
When you were over there. I'm sorry. Okay. See, I thought it was coming the other direction.
No, that's okay. But when stuff went down, I knew... I just wanted to have it recorded so if the worst case happened, everyone would know. Everyone important to me would know what happened.
Oh, so
there couldn't be any cover-up and there wouldn't be any controversy or anything like that, just in case. And it's actually kind of a hard thing to talk about. And
Where did you serve, Rob?
I was over in Iraq. And
thank you.
Hey, no problem. But you shouldn't really thank me, man. There's a whole lot more went down than I could handle. But,
are you back for good now, or are you going to be going back over?
Well, I hear in 2009 we're supposed to go to Afghanistan.
Jesus. And I will tell you that I've asked that of more people than I can tell you. Mm-hmm. And usually the answer is just like that, that they are going back again.
There was a guy at our appearance that was ready to be sent back
over. A lot of people are going to be redeployed over there. Well, and so do you take them and, like, transfer the firefights that you have on your phone? Do you transfer them to something like a CD that you can hold on to them?
Well, it's still in my phone, and I was actually calling to ask Joe. I don't know. I wouldn't mind giving them to you guys. I just don't know how to do it.
All right. Well, put you on hold, because that really, I think, brings it home. I don't think it's exploitive either. I really, really don't. I think
it's illustrative.
It would be exploitive if it was, just being done for some, hey, let's hear some gunshots. But I think it really dramatizes, and it brings home the fact that this is happening in Iraq and Afghanistan every single day, Rob. So I'll put you on hold. Go ahead.
I do want to make a point that I'm with the National Guard, and a lot the biggest problem I see with guardsmen returning home is that they're unemployed, and I think along with the post-traumatic stress and all that other stuff. I mean, that's one of the biggest things as well, because when we're over there, and me just being a private and the lower enlisted members, we make anywhere from 50 to 70 grand tax-free when we're over there, which is great. But as soon as we get home, our orders are done. We're unemployed, and we don't have income for our families, ourselves, anything.
Because they're not coming down on your former employers that you have no control, because you've signed up to be in the National Guard.
Right.
And when you go over there, they're not leaning on the employers enough to let you take let them take your job back. And so you actually come back and there's nothing there for you. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that too. I mean, there is a federal regulation that, your spot has to be held if you're, employed. But there's a lot of us. I mean, The Guard has opened up their recruiting to the lowest common denominator. I mean, that's kind of how I got in. I was an S-bag. I had a lot of problems in my past, and I joined to fix myself. I got a wife.
Vote. Well, hello.
I understand what you're saying.
Daughter, I want to make a better life for them.
Right. Well, so if they're required to do it, what happens to the guy? I mean, are they getting their jobs? Are they coming back to jobs when they come back from serving the country?
most who had a steady job before they deployed are coming back. But there's a lot of them that were like restaurant workers, your laborers, more, you know, kind of like from the movie Fight Club.
They're not required to get, are they, isn't it mandatory for them to get their jobs back?
It's a gray area.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, I understand what you're saying. I'm sure the VA's helping a lot, right?
Hire a guardsman.
Not really.
All right,
yeah,
well,
hire a guardsman, absolutely. Hire a guardsman.
Oh, that's a great idea. Thank Rob, you. We're going to put you on hold so you can talk to Beth Ann and Joe Ardinger, okay?
Hi. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot for the call, and thanks a lot for everything you do. We really appreciate that. And that's a lot of guys doing that. Back to Buzz Burbank.
TV, liquor, and government intrigue are the subjects of our stories when we continue on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.